Welcome to our podcast series, Unfiltered. This is where we have courageous conversations about topics that are not always discussed in the mainstream or in the workplace.
Here we strip away the polished surface and dive into the raw, messy, and deeply human topics that we don't think get talked about often enough.
We are your unfiltered hosts. I'm Amy from the Courage of a Leader podcast.
And I'm Daphna from Leadership Live podcast. We two coaches from two sides of the world who believe that real growth happens in the uncomfortable, unspoken moments.
From workplace trauma to dealing with major life changes and taboo topics like grief, imposter syndrome, and menopause, this is the space where nothing is off limits.
So if you're ready for honest, bold, and sometimes messy conversations, let's get into it.
Today, we are having an unfiltered conversation about grief. What it is, what it feels like, why we struggle to talk about it, and how leaders can show up with humanity when they and the others around them experience loss.
Grief is something every single one of us will face, whether it's directly or indirectly, and yet it's the one conversation we almost never have. We tell people to be strong, to move on, to find closure, but grief doesn't follow neat rules. It's messy. It's waves. It's laughter and tears in the same breath. And as leaders, colleagues, friends, and parents, we don't get to escape it. Our humanity comes with us into every room we walk into.
Yes, I'm so glad we're having this conversation today, Daphna. And we do want to acknowledge for listeners that this conversation might feel tender. It might stir up memories, emotions for you. But our hope is that it gives us all permission to be human and to show up with courage for ourselves and for those around us when grief is in the space. Not to fix it, but to be with it and to remind you and those that you're with, that you're not broken, you are grieving.
Yeah. It's a really, really important conversation because I actually want to start off by saying that I know you've experienced it directly, and I'm sure possibly be sharing some of those stories with us. For me, I'm very grateful that I haven't had any direct sort of first circle experience of it, but in second circles, and the situation that we're living in right now in a war zone, there is grief and loss all around us. And it's a constant part of our present day. Also working with clients that have experienced loss, I'm sure you have as well. So I think it's such a valuable conversation because it's a conversation that people really, I think, don't know how to deal with and how to have. It doesn't come from that lack of care, but rather, I don't know what to say in this particular moment. It's too difficult.
Well, and I think we can get so afraid of saying the wrong thing, of making it worse, of triggering upset or memories or, oh no, I'm going to put them on the spot and they're going to think that I expect them to talk about this now, that we'll shy away from it and do nothing when that might feel not so great for the person who is grieving.
And actually, speaking to people, I sometimes see that people are worried that if they're going to ask a question or say something about the loss, they'll remind the person who's experienced the loss of their loved ones, and that will make them even sadder. And I think that's actually, I just want to bring that up because that's totally unrealistic, because loss lives with a grieving person all the time. You are not going to remind them that they lost their sibling, parent, child, friend, whatever it is. You're not going to remind. They know.
Exactly.
So it's much more important to say than to be scared that all of a sudden grief will be in the room. You know?
Yes, exactly. Definitely. I'm well aware that my father and my sister are no longer with us on this planet. I'm well aware. You're not going to like all of a sudden remind me of that.
And, exactly.
And I had forgotten. I would say, in fact, I'm well aware. Now, this might not be true for everybody, but I'm well aware if I haven't seen someone since my sister passed, that's the most recent. And then that kind of feels weird to me. If we haven't seen each other in a while, you're close enough to me to know that I've experienced that loss and we don't talk about it. That actually feels weirder and harder for me than someone saying something.
I think what you're saying is so important, Amy, because what you're actually saying is it is such a part of your reality. It's not that someone's going to remind you, it is such a part of your reality. And I've also seen how it changes you in some way. Grief or the loss of a loved one all of a sudden has to, I guess, the grieving person redefines their identity and reshapes their life now without this person. So when you're seeing someone for the first time since you've lost your sister, you feel very different and you want that to be acknowledged because your life is completely different. And not acknowledging that, just carrying on as if nothing's happened and everything's exactly the same, hurts. I would imagine that really hurts.
Yeah, like this happened. It was overwhelming, so sad. Like had I mean, I'm just thinking these reverberations like in my life. So, yeah, for that to not be acknowledged feels, I don't know, like there's this major thing that happened and shook up my world and my family, and so many things feel different. Like what? We're not going to talk about that? Now, of course, I'm a processor, and I will speak things out loud, but I've always thought that a simple acknowledgement, like, hey, I haven't seen you in person since your sister passed. I just wanted to acknowledge that, and I'm so sorry for that loss. You say that thing, and then you'll see if the other person wants to spend any time there or not, right? Because the person can respond with like, "Oh, I really appreciate it. Yeah, it was a tough time. How are you? I see you went on a trip recently." Like you'll see how much time they want to spend on it, or it might be that they want to go into that conversation for a little bit. And it might be that their eyes tear up or there's an emotional reaction, and that does not mean that you did anything wrong.
Very good. Good point that you bring up there. If there is an emotional reaction, just let it be, you know. And I think that the invitation is to say, I'm here with you. I don't need to say anything. I just acknowledging the pain and saying, yeah, that's tough. And I'm here for you. If you want to talk, if you want to go out for a coffee, if you want any, if you need anything, I'm here. I think that's all that needs to be said.
Yeah. And those tears coming up in the eyes might even be like, oh my gosh, this is so great. You're acknowledging this. I'm feeling the connection, this moment. Like, this actually feels really warm and sweet to me that you're putting yourself out there to have this connection.
You know, it makes me think about social settings and work settings, and I think it's important to look at both. But the story that comes to mind for me is that we were actually invited to a dinner at friends of ours, and they invited someone who had lost his wife and two children in a horrible terrorist attack shooting. And there was this big elephant in the room. He was an incredible person. He was so open and talking, and you know, the conversation was flowing. I remember we afterwards we spoke about it, us and our friends, and we were like a little bit cautious. Do we say something? Do we not say something? What do we do? Do we pretend just have regular conversation with this man who's lost half his family? And as I say, it's this elephant in the room. Parts of us want to just say, let's carry on as normal, pretend nothing happened. Parts of us want to acknowledge that this big thing happened in his life. And at one point, I said to him, you know, I just want to appreciate the energy that you are bringing and the inspiration and just being with you at the table today with everything that's happened has been a privilege and an honor for all of us. And he just said thank you, and we moved on. And he spoke a little bit about his family, and he started to share a little bit more. And my friend turned around to me after, and she said, "Thank you so much for saying that," because it's like this elephant in the room. And I'm like, once it was named, as you said just now, he set the tone for where the conversation would go. Does he want to share memories? Does he want to talk about what his life is like? Or does he want to just continue and have lovely dinner party conversation? And it was just very important to name it, to acknowledge it. It's here. So let's just acknowledge it.
That seemed like a very beautiful and appropriate way to acknowledge. And that's what I heard when you were sharing the words that you said with him. It just felt like a negative, it was an acknowledgement. I think you said his energy. Exactly. So, yeah, an acknowledgement, and then let the person take it where they will. And I don't know. I think we get concerned about saying the wrong thing. I think it's worse if we don't say something and connect with the person. And if you do get it wrong, I think you'll get that feedback immediately. And then if you can be with that feedback and say, "Oh, I'm stumbling over my words here," or "Oh, it sounds like that was the wrong thing to say. How can I support
I
you?"
know.
I think, asking a question, right? Or whoever is closest to that gentleman who's coming to the dinner party, reaching out and being, like, how do we invite you in the best way? Because listen, there is this elephant in the room. We all are aware of the devastating loss that you've experienced recently. How do we help you? How do we not botch this up?
And the other thing is, I have to say, sometimes when, someone close to me, and unfortunately we've had so many people close to us who've lost children
Yeah,
and loved ones,
in case any listeners are not aware, Daphna is in Israel in the middle of a war zone right now. So you may not have lost an immediate family member, but you are surrounded by loss
surrounded by
currently.
grief and loss. And sometimes you don't have the words, and sometimes I get hugely emotional just being in the presence of someone who is grieving in this way. And I've really just sometimes looked at the person, given a hug, and that's it. I've also said, just wanting to throw out some things that I've done. I don't know how, and I'd love to hear from you where it lands for you. But I've also like looked the person in the eyes and said, I don't even know what to say to you right now. I just share a little bit of the pain that you're experiencing.
I think
And I think
that's
that's also
beautiful.
okay.
Yeah.
You don't
Showing up
have to.
real.
You don't have to have specific words or specific sentences. It's really, what are you feeling right now? Share a little bit of that. And I guess it might not provide comfort and it might not bring the person back, but it's shared pain somehow, understanding, seeing the pain, and not trying to make it go away.
No, you're taking me back to being at the wake of my loved ones, and when people just walk up and their eyes are filled with tears and they're just grabbing for my hands, or they're just shaking their head, or they're like, "Oh my gosh, whatever they're saying," like when they're showing up as a real human being, and that feels better than something
Avoiding.
that feels practiced or patterned, or the condolence phrase.
Amy, I am thinking about what are the things, maybe also worth just mentioning, but what are the things that are big no-nos? Like, just don't say this. Please just don't say this. What is there anything that comes to mind for you around that? What are hard to hear things? And I suppose what I mentioned in the intro is the move on, time to move on, be strong.
At least they're in a better place. At
At
least,
least that is my worst. And I think it actually doesn't only apply to grief, it applies to anything difficult that a person is going through. Please just don't start your sentence with at least. I think it's the worst thing that a person going through a hard time, and even more so for grieving people, at least. I mean, I'll share even a personal story from me where I suppose that is a kind of a loss. But when my baby was born, I've got three children. I had major complications and nearly lost my life, and I had to have a hysterectomy, and that meant I couldn't have any more children. And when people heard that, they would go, "Well, at least you've got three beautiful, healthy kids." And even that was hard for me to hear. Yes, I've got three beautiful, healthy kids, and I love them very, very much, but my choice was taken away of whether I did want to have another one or where I wanted to go with it. And it's not an at least statement. Just be with me in my moment of pain and difficulty.
And what I mean, what is it that people think that with one sentence that they say that they're all of a sudden going to throw you into a positive emotional space
Right.
about
It's
it?
going to make me feel all better about it, right?
Well, and maybe that is the thing to keep in mind, that there's nothing to fix. There's nothing to fix. There's nothing
Right.
to make better or make worse. Right?
Right.
The
It's not
situation.
your responsibility to make people feel better or to make it go away. You cannot make it go away. You cannot. And I think really reinforcing what we said earlier, it's messy. Grief is messy. There are ups and downs. It hits you in the most unlikely moments. You could be driving in the car and hearing a song on the radio, and then you are overcome with emotion and pain and tears. And that's okay. Embrace the messiness of it. And it's not some person, friend, relative, whatever it is that's going to come and you'll say the thing that will make everything okay again. That's not going to
You're not
happen.
going to be that person. And everyone is on their own journey. I know I struggle and I will continue to struggle with the messiness of it. I'm a type A personality. I want to project manage this. I want to fix it. I want to have it not affect me as much as it does at times. And every person's going to have a different kind of journey with that, learning how to, for me, it's surrender to the grief. And to be with it and learn to ride the
The
waves.
wave. I'd love to just share a little bit about maybe some of the process, because grief is a process. And from a Jewish religion perspective, we have our 7 days where you actually, it's called Shiva. Shiva is seven. So it's 7 days from the moment that the person died, loved ones. And this is first order loved ones, okay? So it's parents, siblings, children. You sit at home for 7 days. You don't get up. You don't go anywhere. You don't go to the shops. You don't cook. You don't do. You literally are sitting there. You sleep. And people come to pay their respects and come and visit you at home. Your community usually makes sure that you have meals and food sorted out. But for those 7 days, your world stops. And then there's the next stage is the 30 days. But after the 7 days, you do get up and you go back to work and you go back to your life. And this is something that I think is worth speaking about, because whether it's, according to the your Jewish faith and custom, you do 7 days, or whether you go back to work whenever it is that you go back to work. But what happens then when you have to reintegrate into life and you're still carrying the heaviness of this grief? I think that is something that's worth talking about as well, just spending a little bit of time with it. I don't know if you want to share anything about how that was for you, because it's a very big switch where you feel your life has changed completely, and yet the world goes on. There's still traffic jams, and there's still work, and there's still supermarkets, and there's still crying children, or whatever it is,
Well, I think that there is this thing in our society globally and across religions and faiths where like we come together to support the person in the initial days, maybe even weeks. But then it will go away, and there will be certain circles in your life who might never ever mention it again. Having my own business, it's nice to come back to work. I've created work that I love and enjoy, so I wanted to come back to it and engage my mind and my energy into my work. And it's had significant impacts on my energy. And I might not be able to have as many conversations in a row, or I might end my days sooner. I mean, I can see it looking back now. I mean, after my father passed, I pretty much did what I needed to do for my kids, did what I needed to do for my clients, and then slept.
That's actually very similar to a trauma response, is you manage what you need to manage, the very bare minimum of what you know you need to do to get through the day, and that's it. You have no capacity for more than that. I have to say, like, I've had days when I'm experiencing that with the level of trauma that we're experiencing in our country at the moment. It's like, really low flame. I know for this period, the low flame days, do what I need to do. And that's it. Not expect anything beyond that. And I think that's also an important point, because I think if we're fighting that and we think, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you doing ex more things or extra things? Or, why aren't you more okay, inspiring, inspired, or whatever? Why aren't you able to handle? You used to be able to handle. Why are you sleeping so much? For people who are grieving, it's really okay. It's normal. Your body is going through something. There's a process that's
I
happening
didn't
here.
know that. And gosh, if you just have a little bit of conversation about it, because now, Daphna, you use the frame a low flame day, right? So now I have that language and I can check in with my friend Daphna and be like, how are you doing? Is it, I'm sensing it might be a low flame day. Do you want to
How
talk about it?
awesome would that be? That is awesome. That's awesome. Checking in, that's caring. That's really caring.
I'd like to transition a little bit more to the workplace, Daphna, because I think many leaders listening might think that's not my place, right? I'm not a therapist. But again, I think going back to this term and this approach we've been using, acknowledgement, right? When someone comes back from bereavement leave, just acknowledging that. You've been off on bereavement leave. I know, gosh, it's got to be tough losing your father or whoever it is. I know the bereavement leave is over, but the bereavement's not over.
I
Like,
love that.
how are you
The
doing? What do you
bereavement
need?
leave. Oh, sorry, I just wanted to emphasize what you just said. The bereavement leave is over, but the bereavement isn't over. And it takes a long, long time. So I think that's really important to acknowledge. There's the firsts of everything in the first year, the first birthday, the first holiday, the first anniversary, the first whatever it is. So many firsts that are going to be missed. So that bereavement takes time, and there is no deadline on it. There is no, this is how long it takes.
Oh, Daphna, I was saying something about my father and the loss for me, and somebody went, "How long ago did your dad die?" Oh, I felt so judged in that moment, and I haven't forgotten it. And that did not feel like support. But how lovely if, like, going into a holiday season, a leader could say to a team member or even to the team collectively, I know many of you have lost loved ones, right? And that can be really tough around the holidays. Let us know how you're doing. Let us know what you need. Let us know if it's a down day.
Absolutely. I know, I worked with two clients who had a very, very special bond with their father. And I remember my one client going back to work. And, I think there's something about grief in that it's invisible, because people prefer and want and expect you to just now show up at work and be you and be okay. And she struggled for a long time to get back into feeling like her regular, let's say, high performing leader that she is and was, but it took her a long, long time. And it's exactly what you, but that was like 6 months ago, it was a year ago, and she'd had this continue, as we said, the waves, you know, one day she'd wake up and it would just hit her again and she felt low flame day. So,
We and so Daphne, I want to bring up another question that some listeners might be wondering. So we've talked about low flame or down day. What if someone's flaring up? What if they're angry? What if they're irritable? What if they're something's coming up for them and it's coming out in that way? So this question of, you're a colleague or you're a leader on a team, and wow, someone is prickly in a way that they're not usually. Let's talk about what we do there.
I think that's actually a good point. It's true because I think that we assume that grief is going to show up as feeling down, feeling sad, but it might not. And that's actually a really good point. And I would add to that also, it might show up completely normal. Like, I'm fine. I'm at work
Oh,
now. I'm
like
good.
I'm marching.
I'm carrying on. Let's move on.
That's a
I
really
think
good
those are
point.
good questions. Those are good questions. And I think that, I mean, for me, what's coming up with a flaring up person is to actually have the conversation, like sit down and say, how are you doing? I wanted to know. And not, I think it's more triggering if you're going to say, listen, I've noticed that, you're not yourself today. Oh, that's another statement that I really, really dislike. I noticed that you're not yourself today. What does that mean? So just check in and say, I want to check in with you. How are you doing? How are you?
Really? How are you
Yeah,
doing?
really,
Really?
really, exactly. How can we support you? I think from even the leaders or HR perspective to offer maybe help and counseling beyond, what I can do for you at work. That's also an option.
So acknowledging, giving empathy, and knowing what the resources are that your company provides, that employees have access to. You don't have to diagnose, you don't have to be a therapist, but be with the person in those moments and make sure that they're aware of or encourage them to take advantage of any resources or support that are available. That's why they're there.
And Amy, what's coming up for me is a story that wasn't one of mine, but a colleague of mine who said that they noticed all of a sudden one of the employees was being really difficult. A manager was being really difficult, moody. They didn't know what had happened. All of a sudden, from being quite, amiable, lovely, connecting person, she was ratty, grumpy, doing all these things. And no one knew actually what had gone on, what is going on with her. And this was over a prolonged period of time, this behavior pattern or change in behavior that showed up. And what her leader did or her manager did was they just pulled her aside one day and just started a connecting conversation, not addressing necessarily the change in behavior or anything like that, just saying, how are you doing? What's going on in your
Nice.
life? How are things for you? And again, from a very genuine place, because I think sometimes this can also come across as not great. Where you're going with something's changed, what's going on? No, you actually are wanting to connect and really understand more about what is going on in this person's life. And they discovered that this woman had lost someone close to her and no one knew about
No
it.
one
She
knew.
hadn't told anyone.
She was trying to soldier on and
Exactly. She was trying to soldier on, not even realizing the impact that this was having around her. But she was carrying so much with her, and that just obviously wasn't working. So when she had opened up, they came up with a plan of how she can feel supported, whether she needed to take time off or to reduce hours or whatever it is, or work a little bit from home or just be gentler with herself, because she was still placing these same performance expectations, which were just unrealistic for her. So for me, it's about conversation. Start the conversation from a genuine place of caring and wanting to connect and curiosity. Be curious rather than critical. How's that for curious
Yes,
rather than
curious
critical?
instead of critical. We'll add
Exactly.
another C word in there. Be courageous. Just be
Courageous.
the
Exactly.
other person and whatever is coming up for them. And I know, Daphna, today with our conversation around grief, we were focusing on the loss of loved ones, but we also recognize that there's all kinds of grief that our world creates for us. And yeah, people are grieving a lot of things right now in our world. Yeah. Whether there's been a loss of a loved one recently or not, asking these questions of ourselves, of our loved ones around us, and of our colleagues and team members is important.
Yeah, and I want to, I know we've said this, but I want to again reemphasize the making space for it, make naming what's in the room, naming the grief, acknowledging it, and making giving it space. Because when we don't, it can come out in other ways that are either just unhelpful, unproductive, whatever else, but it can also just be something that a resentment that a person will carry with them, the grieving person will carry with them because it hasn't been addressed and it hasn't been named. And that also has an impact. Make space for it, as scary as it may be, or even saying the wrong thing or whatever it is. Just acknowledge and give it space.
And you'll get a signal from the other person about how much space they do want to give it in that moment, but also know they might not be able to say more or go there in that moment, but that doesn't mean that they don't want space a week
They
from
don't.
now, a month from now.
Knowing that you're there. I think something else that's actually coming up for me that we haven't mentioned is that often when people are faced with a loss and are grieving, I think bigger questions come into play in their
Ooh,
lives. Like,
yeah.
what is the meaning of this? What is the meaning of life? What are we doing here? Why did this happen? Why is this happening to me? Like some of those really bigger, what is the point? What is the point of this? What is the point of getting up in the morning? What is the point of going to work? You know, those are things like the kind of much bigger meaning of life questions that can also come up for people. And I think that, you know, if it does, having those conversations can also be very, very useful, very helpful.
Absolutely.
Not that we have answers.
No. Yeah, and that person might not in that moment, but they're important questions.
And I think we've spoken about how to support others, but what about a leader who they themselves are going through grief? How should a leader show up in their own grief? I'm kind of thinking the message of be strong for my team, you know, what's the word? Rally, you know, don't show the emotions.
Yeah, what a nice opportunity to acknowledge the humanity in that. And a leader saying, hey, this recent loss in my life is affecting me in ways that I didn't expect. And I don't know, you can share with others what would be supportive for you. Right? So someone could say, like, I don't want to talk about it for the next couple of weeks. Or they might say, yeah, hey, if I'm not showing up like myself, would you call that out for me? Like, you don't seem like yourself today. Or just name whatever would be supportive, or name what's going on for you. Like,
I
I'm
love
not
that.
feeling as motivated. I might not have as much energy. Please know that it doesn't mean that I don't care about you or I don't care about the work. But I'm just kind of finding it hard right now to bring the same level of passion and energy to my day to day. But,
And I think
please
that
know.
we've turned the spotlight on the grieving person, and I think that's really important as well for the person who's grieving, for the person who's going through it, to also be able to say what would be supportive for them. What do they need? What do I need in this moment, in this time? Do I need patience? Do I need understanding? Do I need you to check in on me? You know, I know with us bringing it into our environment, and people would ask, what can I do? How can I be supportive? How can I support? And I'd say, actually, if you checked in from time to time, that would be really awesome. And that's something that a person can ask for. Just check in with me. Just ask how I'm doing. Some people might not need that. Some people might need
Right.
something else. But really, also, I think it's important to say to the grieving person, as hard as it may be, to just be able to express, what are your needs at this moment? What are your needs at this point in time? What
Yeah.
would be supportive? Would it be, I know someone very close to me who their needs are, I don't want to talk about it. Don't ask me. Don't ask me. Don't say, don't bring it up. If I need something, I will bring it up and I will ask you for help. I know you're there for me. I know you love me. So if I need it, I will ask. And that's also fine. But to be able to express that.
Yes. And I know that I would have times where I'm like, I don't know. I have
Yeah,
no
right.
idea. Right? And then if you're their leader in that moment, you could say, "Great. If you come up with anything, let me know. I'd like to check in again next week." Right?
Right.
And they kind of let them
That's
know,
good.
"Yeah, I'm going to be here on an ongoing basis. I'm going to ask again."
Yeah. I think we've covered quite a lot in today's conversations, and it's been really just feels very open and connecting to even talk about this with you and just hearing some of your own experiences. And I'm thinking, is there anything that you want to still say? Is there anything that we haven't said or anything that's coming up for you that's important to mention at this point?
I think I would just underscore that grief isn't tidy. It doesn't fit into a defined time frame. We've said the word acknowledge a number of times, which I think is important. And just know that it's not neat and tidy. It's messy. It comes in waves. It can change us. And just be gentle with ourselves and with
Yeah.
those around us.
Yeah. I love that. I really love that. Yeah, I think grief is part of life. It's
Yeah.
part of life. It's always going to be around us in some way, as I said, either directly or indirectly, but it's there.
Yeah.
And just knowing that grief is also something that changes you as a person, but maybe also in terms of growth, compassion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know earlier before we started recording, we spoke a little bit of, I don't know if this is the right wording to say, what are the gifts in grief and loss?
Yeah.
But I think that there's definitely something around growth
Yeah.
and maybe also realizing you don't need to go through it alone, that there are people who love you, care about you, and want to support you through it. I don't know if there's anything you want to add.
Yeah. I would say that, well, probably I didn't experience the growth or the gift, wasn't cognizant of that for quite some time.
Yeah.
Right? So that might be something to take a look at a little further down the line. But I know it has made me more open to being with folks and their emotions. I am less judgmental of what's going on with other folks. I mean, I'll tell you candidly, and I feel a bit ashamed admitting this, but if I would be at a funeral or services and someone who wasn't close to the person who had died was really crying and, visibly, maybe even loudly upset, I'm like,
Could
gosh,
imagine.
what is going? Yeah, right? You weren't even that close. Now I know, right? I do not know what this experience is triggering in them.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
everybody has their loss and everybody experiences differently. Some people are super quiet and private about it. Some people are very loud and want to talk to many people about it. And it's all fine, right? It's all somebody's way. So, having more compassion for myself and how loss has affected me, having more compassion for others and however they're showing up in the moment. And don't always do this perfectly, but I think, if all of us can remind ourselves, assume good intent, right? There's been a change in behavior, and all of a sudden, ooh, They're being prickly or they're being a bit of a jerk today. Ooh, they probably didn't wake up thinking, I want to be a jerk today. There might be something,
Something
right?
else.
There's something going on there. And how can you connect in a real way to open up the possibility of being able to provide support that works?
You know what's coming up for me, and probably a good thing to leave our listeners with to think about, and that is that certainly with people, I've spoken to around the whole topic of grief and loss of loved ones, is that there's always an enormous appreciation for the time that they've had with this person, even when it was too short, just too short. And we're talking about a lot of people who've lost children. It's always too short. It's always the person was taken too early. But if you ask them, would you rather not have loved and lost than, or not loved at all than loved and lost? And they always say, the appreciation for the time that we had is not anything that I would want to take away. And I would definitely rather love and lose. And for me, that is really a wake up call to say, who do you need to say something to today? Don't wait until tomorrow. Don't think you've got your whole life ahead of you. And hopefully you really, really do. But don't wait to say the important things, whether it's something that upset you or just saying, I love you, or just saying, this is how much you mean to me and this is how important you are in my life. Say those things. I know that I've become much more really aware of something I never used to do. But when I speak to friends, or it's a birthday, or we have a beautiful connection, I just say to them, I love you. And I'll end the
Yes,
conversation like that. I love you, my friend.
yeah.
And that is so special to me, because you don't want to leave things unsaid. And sometimes you just no don't know when it's going to be the last time that you see someone. So maybe that is the gift of making us more
yeah.
aware of appreciating our connection with people, speaking the things that are meaningful and important, telling people that you love them, tell them every day. You can never
Very
say it too
beautiful.
much, and obviously only if you mean it.
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't say I love you. We didn't say that with my dad until after he had the first cancer scare. And then it was I love you for the remainder of his days. So I love that call to action, Daphna. Tell the people that are valuable in your life that tell them that they're
Tell them,
valuable.
tell them. And another beautiful thing I've heard, also in the last couple of years that we've been dealing with this, is that your relationship with a person who died is not over. Your relationship with them lives on. The person is not with you physically anymore, but you still have a relationship with them. It looks different. It might feel a bit different, but the relationship is there, and you can continue to grow it. You can continue speaking to them, can write them letters. I know I've encouraged my clients who've experienced loss to speak to their loved ones, to write letters, to share. You can continue having a relationship. And I think that that's also something to bear in mind. It's not over. It's not the end and all gone. Yes, it's a different experience, but you can still have that relationship with your loved ones.
Beautiful, Daphna. Listeners, if you have found this episode meaningful, please share it with someone who might need to hear it. And if you have a topic that you'd love for us to tackle in an unfiltered way, let us know. We're always up for the conversations that don't get talked about enough.
And until next time, stay curious, stay courageous, and stay unfiltered. That's a wrap on this episode of Unfiltered, where we have courageous conversations about topics that are not often discussed in depth. We hope this conversation sparked something in you, whether it's a new perspective, a moment of reflection, or just the reassurance that you're not alone.
If you found this episode meaningful, please share it with someone who needs to hear it. And if you have a topic that you'd love for us to tackle, let us know. We are always up for conversations that don't get talked about enough.
Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and connect with us on LinkedIn. All our details are in the show notes, because the best conversations don't end here.
Until next time, stay curious, stay courageous, and stay unfiltered.